Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Most precious blood of Jesus, save us. Please be seated. Venerable sisters and dear parishioners, we reflect today upon the importance of blood and our blood, which we cannot see unless, of course, we suffer a cut or injury, is absolutely essential for life. If we don't have blood, we die. So this is why blood is considered to be equivalent to life itself. And there's an importance that's given to blood that conveys a very solemn meaning. We have the saying that something was signed in blood. If you really, really want to get across how seriously you're taking a promise or commitment, not that the church recommends this, but people have done this in history, they'll prick the finger and make sure that the blood goes on the paper. Nothing more solemn than that, in showing one's seriousness. During World War II, Prime Minister Winston Churchill gave one of the most stirring speeches in history to the British people, telling them what they were up against. And this was before the United States entered the war and helped turn the tide. And he said, "I have nothing to promise you except for blood, toil, sweat, and tears." And notice the first word that he said, blood. Because that's what war unfortunately involves. A tremendous shedding of blood. Interestingly enough, we forget the second word that Churchill said, of toil, because you see the human mind remembers things in threes. It's just something it's just ingrained in us, I think, by God we remember things in groups of three. So when we say blood, sweat, and tears, we forget that toil was that second word. That it's just the power of three. So today we reflect upon the precious blood of Jesus. In general, we know how important blood is, and today we are honoring His blood. His blood, which dripped almost completely out of His body to accomplish our redemption. And we say, with the most awesome sincerity and awareness we can have, that that is the price of our redemption. Let me explain. How much value does the Hope Diamond have? You know, it's one of the most famous diamonds ever mined and cut perfectly, and it's so flawless, so beautiful. And there is actually a price tag on it. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So it has a price tag. So when you look at that diamond, you say, there's the price of it. And maybe one day another diamond will be discovered that's more beautiful than that. There will be even more flawless, more beautifully cut. But there are also things from architecture and art that we can't put a price on. They're so virtually impossible to reproduce. For example, the Mona Lisa, painted by Leonardo da Vinci. It hangs in the Louvre Museum in Paris. What's the price tag on that painting? And the answer basically is there is no price tag. It's so high. It would be so difficult to reproduce. And actually, it could never be reproduced. So we can't call Leonardo da Vinci from the dead and ask him to paint another one and then 400 or 500 years later and keep enjoying it. How would that happen? So it's priceless. And I mentioned this a few Sundays ago. I forget what the topic of the sermon was, but I remember bringing up St. Peter's Basilica, how on the Vatican balance sheet, it has the symbolic value of €1. Why are they content with describing it as such? Because it's priceless. It's irreplaceable. Not absolutely, but relatively. So, what's the price tag on your soul? If we could look inside the soul of each one of us and say, what is the price tag? We would have to say, it is absolutely priceless. One soul, one eternity. And to give it the chance of going to heaven versus being lost eternally in hell, Jesus poured out his blood. And that's infinite in value. So on the soul of every one of us, there's an infinite price tag, which makes our soul absolutely priceless. My dear brethren, that's the truth. And we can see that the thing that caused Jesus the greatest sorrow would be those that would reject the graces of redemption and be lost eternally. He was willing to go through all of that to get us to heaven, but can you imagine how frustrating, how sad, how much suffering it caused him to think of all these souls that would be lost despite the priceless tag on their soul. How much he suffered for that. He thirsted for souls. When he said on the cross, I thirst, it was not just a physical thirst. He thirsted in an infinite way for souls to get to heaven. He would redeem every one of them, but not all will cooperate. So what do we do in return? My dear brethren, we have to give everything spiritually to God. And the martyrs realized this when they were asked to give their lives. They were told, either give up Christ or you will lose your life. You're going to suffer and die. And they knew that price tag on their souls. They knew what Christ had done. And they said, I can never deny Christ to you. And sure, I'm afraid of what you're going to do, but with his grace, I will be faithful to death. And every martyr is a saint, the one that gave his or her life for Christ, who shed his or her blood in return. And my dear brethren, we may or may not be ever asked that in our lives. But what we are most definitely asked is to live our lives, as they call it, a dry martyrdom, being faithful to our Lord, living for him, trying to grow in virtue on a daily basis, striving for that perfection that Christ wants of us. So this is what we do. And what about temporally? What do we give, my dear brethren, in thanksgiving for being creatures of God? And being redeemed, we give God our tithe. That's what God asks of us. That's what he expects of us. Not to give him everything, but to give him our tenth. Realizing that everything really belongs to him after all. But let me tell you a little story. That, you know, because this is one of those topics that obviously not one of the more popular ones. And personally speaking, I would rather not talk about it. But it's something we do from time to time. But anyway, let me read this little story I'm sure that it's happened in the course of history, but this is about a little girl and her little brother. And she was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her five-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the boy if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. He hesitated for a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, "Yes, I'll do it if it'll save my sister's life." As the transfusion progressed, he lay in bed next to his sister and smiled, seeing the color returning to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" He actually thought he had to give all of his blood and he was going to die. And he said yes. And then they were happily able to reassure the little fellow, "Oh, we needed just some of the blood." And the little fellow was no doubt greatly relieved. But imagine him being willing, because he didn't understand. He thought he had to give it all. So it is something that we need to do, my dear brethren. It's part of our worship. It's part of our relationship with God. And we see this in Scripture. We read in the book of Genesis how Abraham, who was going to be the father of the chosen people, when he came to Salem, which later on would become Jerusalem, and he met the priest King Melchizedek, it said he offered him his tithe. And he realized that was his relationship with God. And my dear brethren, maybe one day in the bulletin we'll see a really, really big amount given in the tithe. Do we just say, "Oh, the church, I don't need to give anything more to God because we're taken care of"? Somehow I don't see Abraham doing that when he went up to Melchizedek saying, "Melchizedek, how are things going? Are we doing okay?" No, I don't think he asked that question. He just knew it was part of his duty. But my dear brethren, there's something in it for us. And that's what I would like to especially share with you today. And it's so much human nature whenever we give something to ask ourselves, "Well, what am I going to get?" It's not the best of motives. And with God, really, we shouldn't. You know, it's not the best thing to do, saying, "If I give this to God, what will He give me back?" But God is good, and He's actually going to give us a great deal in return. It's so human. And even we read about it in St. Peter, who one day, he was feeling the pinch of following our Lord. He had left his family. He had left his fishing business, if you want to call it that. He had left his freedom. And one day, he's feeling very human. "What are we going to receive, Jesus, for giving up everything that we've done?" And Jesus did not give him a sermon or chastise him, saying, "Peter, that's not a very pure motive that you have." He said, "Peter, I'm going to give you the hundredfold." And not only that, you and the other apostles will sit on the thrones in heaven judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jesus said, not only am I going to reward you in the next life, I'm going to reward you in this life. And it wasn't, of course, in the sense of powers and riches and glory. It was the spiritual blessings that St. Peter and the others that followed our Lord experienced. We were reminded of this so much this past Wednesday when the sisters were taking their vows and the bishop addressed this. Yes, it is a sacrifice to give your whole life to God. Our young people, I'm sure you're scared of that prospect. I mean, give everything to our Lord. You're just as human as St. Peter. But does our Lord fail his promises? He says, I will give you the hundredfold. And I'm sure that sisters would express this as I can from the pulpit. As I look back on my life, I have truly experienced the hundredfold. And I had to say yes initially. And it wasn't with the greatest enthusiasm, but that was looking forward. I'm looking backward in time, and my life has been filled with blessings. And for this, I take no pride. I can only be humbly grateful. So, but for those not called to the religious state, is there something in it for you? Oh, let's, by all means, let me read to you. To take off my glasses because the type keeps getting smaller and smaller. In every gift, show a cheerful countenance and sanctify thy tithes with joy. Give to the Most High according to what he hath given to thee, and with a good eye do according to the ability of thy hands. For the Lord maketh recompense and will give thee seven times as much. So sometimes, my dear brethren, it is indeed tight. I know my own parents, how many times they struggled. But I do know that when they weren't able to give in the form of actual finance, they gave it in the form of volunteer work. And that is certainly acceptable. Yesterday, as we were working on the windows, we could certainly have used more volunteers. It's a tithe. It's giving to God our percentage. So, my dear brethren, there is something in it for us. And don't be afraid to do what you can. And our Lord gave us so much, as we know. Every drop of blood was there to put that priceless value on our soul. Let us love him. Let us love him more and more. And we just finished the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the month of June. And what a perfect segue, you might say, into the month of July. The heart in June, the blood in July. And we see that gaping wound in his heart to show that it wasn't just the blood in his body, he was even going to give the blood in his heart. And so let us just say, Jesus, I love thee. O Mary, I love thee, his Holy Mother, and I will serve thee. I know that you will bless me. I know that you will take care of me. I have confidence. So as we begin the month of the precious blood of Jesus, let us rejoice that we have an infinite price tag on our soul. And let us never cease to give thanks for that gift of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.